this morning, I want to stand before you and just tell you real bluntly, I got one of the simplest sermons that you've probably ever heard. But I'm excited to know that Jesus was a simple preacher. When you read the Gospels, you'll find out that he was probably one of the most simple truth speakers there ever was. And you know what I've realized? It's not the deep revelation that usually gets me out of what I'm going through. It's the simple gospel. And Jesus said this. He said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach good news. So today I have good news for you. That's what this morning's all about. Good news. I'm not going to come and send you to hell and preach about you're going to hell if you don't get right. And that's not what I'm here to do today. I'm here to tell you some good news. God sees where you are. And the great thing about God seeing where you are is this. God, and here's the good news, God has not forgotten you. The other morning in my quiet time, I was reading and praying and just worshiping the Lord. And I heard the Lord say to me, I see where you are right now. And the Lord impressed upon me so strong that I haven't forgotten where you are. Because I sit there and I told the Lord, I said, since the storm, God, I've been doing so much relief work and I haven't had my quiet time with you like I really want to. And I feel like I'm out of kilter and I feel like I could be failing the church a little bit and doing this and doing that. And the Lord said, hey, I see where you are. I see right where you are and I haven't forgotten you. Look at Isaiah 49, if you would, verse 14. And Zion said, or the Israel said this, he said, the Lord has forsaken me and the Lord has forgotten me. Is there anybody here? You'll be honest, and you better be here in church, but you'll be honest today and said, there are times that you have literally probably said, God, you've forgotten me. And if you haven't, you're lying. Because I know in my heart, many, many times I've looked at the situation, I've looked at what I'm going through, and I thought, God, have you forgotten me? Have you turned your back on me? Well, where are you, God? And this is God's answer, and I love this answer. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have not compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me. There's some people believe that that means that God tattooed your name on his hand. That's not what I believe. But I do know this, that when he died on the cross, he took nails in his hands. And so God can't forget you because, you know, there's only one person in heaven who has scars. Come on, think about that a minute. Because the Bible says that when we go to heaven, it's our spirit that goes to heaven. We have a new body, but there's someone in heaven who still has scars. You want to know who it is? It's Jesus. Jesus still has the wounds in his hand. And he says, I can't forget you because every time I move my hand, I see a scar that says, I died for you. I'm constantly thinking about you. So I want you to know that not only does he see where you are, but the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous can run to it and be safe. His name, actually even his name is Jehovah Roha. Not Rawhide, Roha. Jehovah Roha, which means, or Elroy, which means the God who sees me. That's his name. His name declares that he sees you. Can you turn to your neighbor right now and say, God's looking at you? Now, I don't know about you, but when I was brought up and I heard God was looking at you, it's because you were doing something wrong. Even the Statler brothers came out with this great number one hit. God's going to get you for that. God's going to. I've heard parents tell their children, you better stop that. God's going to strike you dead. You better quit blaspheming God, because God's not striking anybody dead. But his name here doesn't mean I'm watching you mess up there, Ricardo. No, what this name means is I see you, and I see you inwardly like nobody else does. I'm the God who has the ability to see. Because let's just face it today. Y'all look good today. You're the best looking church I've seen all morning. Even that road over there. But you know, to be honest with you, we are perfect and we are good at hiding the real us. We can put on our good clothes and we can put on everything we need. But the problem is, nobody really sees the real you but you. See, we can be full of pain. We can be full of heartache. We can be full of disappointment. But we put on our happy face when we come to church. And so when we come through the door and the greeters are there, how are you today? I'm blessed. This is the day the Lord has made. But inside we're screaming. Inside we're hurting. Inside we're crying. Because on the outside, we look like we have it all together. But if it was real and you really began to expose, we really can't hide what's on the inside of us because you never know what might be on the inside underneath.
That's right.
See, we are so good at hiding the real us. We can hide our emotional scars. We can hide our disappointments. We can hide our fears. We can put on a good show. Let's just come on, be honest with you. We are good manipulators to try to show that we are something that we really aren't. And we sit in church Sunday after Sunday and we raise our hands and we sing our songs and we might shed a few tears, but we leave here Sunday after Sunday and we're really still hurting inside because we didn't get the promotion that we really prayed for, or the child that we've put 16 years into training up in the way they should go, and then they look at us and spit in our face and turn and do something totally different than everything we've ever heard, or have a daughter tell you she's pregnant out of wedlock, or have a drug addict come back in the house, and inside you're like, God, where are you? And I'm telling you where God is. He's looking at you right now and he says, I see right where you are. I see right where you are. You can try to cover it up. You can put your mask on that says happy, 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 happy. But in your heart, God knows that you're hurting, 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 hurting. Because God sees differently than what you see. Because let's just face it, church, we're professional cover-ups. It's quiet in this Pentecostal church this morning. We're professional cover-ups. Have you noticed that as soon as Adam and Eve failed God, the very first thing they did was try to cover up? They tried to hide. They tried to cover themselves because, you want to know the truth? They didn't like what they see. I've heard this all my life. That you can't love people until you learn to love yourself. You can't like people until you like yourself. You know what the problem with that is? We know us. We know us better than anybody else does. See, we know when we failed when nobody else knows we failed. We know the times we've cheated when nobody else knew we cheated. Oh, y'all very quiet now. Don't look at anybody. They'll think you're thinking about them. We know what we did on our taxes when nobody else saw us do our taxes. We're professional cover-ups. And let me say this to you, that the moment we try to hide from God and we try to cover up to be something we're not, number one, we're hypocrites. But number two, we're falling back into the same sin that Adam and Eve did by trying to hide from God. And when you're hiding this morning, I'm here to tell you, God's calling your name. Because you need to understand that God sees you differently than everybody else sees you. Do you remember the story of David? I mentioned it earlier about David and Goliath. Do you remember when Samuel came to Eli's house and God looked, not Eli, I'm sorry, Jesse, and looked at Jesse and said, bring me your sons because out of your house is going to become the next king. So he brought Eliab, the first one, you know, who looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who said, I'll be back, you know, and he walked up and Samuel standing there going, that's him. That's him. Look at him. That's him. He's scaring me. And God said, that ain't him. And then the next one came in, it looked like John Wayne. Well, I tell you right now, And Samuel said, that's him, that's him. And God said, no, that's not him. And they went through all of his sons until Jesse's looking. And Samuel's looking and going, and he finally looks at Jesse and he says, is there anybody else in your household? And he said, well, there's this one shrimp of a kid, little red-headed, freckled kid down in the sheep field. Go get him. Now, there's a lot of debate about David's life. You didn't know we were going to be reading. There's a lot of debate about David's life, but a lot of scholars believe, and I believe it backs it up in Scripture, a lot of scholars believe the reason that Jesse did not bring David is because David was probably born illegitimately. If you read the Psalms, David said, I was born in sin, and my mother and my father even forsook me. Did you notice his brothers wanted nothing to do with him? And so Jesse is trying to hide his failure from the priest. This is my sons. Are there any more? Well, there's one. Don't really want to talk about his birth. And David walks in. And God said, that's him. Why in the world would God pick him? Well, he tells us this in 1 Samuel 16:7. He says, for the Lord does not see man, or see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. In other words, we see what you want us to see, but God sees the real story. It's interesting to me, Michael, that in the genealogy of Christ, there's a harlot or a prostitute. There's two or three people that were born out of wedlock. Why are you saying that today, preacher? Are you condoning it? No. Don't walk out of here and say, well, preacher, it's okay. Glory to God. That's not what I'm saying. Don't twist my words. What I am saying, though, is this, that God has seen you in your worst hour, and He can still show up and heal the problem. He can see you when you've messed up the worst, and He's still there going, I'm ready to heal you. Because I'm the God who sees right where you are. He's a God who sees differently than we see. He looks at the heart. Is this helping anybody today? Number two, I want you to know that God sees the real you. He sees where you've been. He sees where you are. He's seen where you've been. He sees where you are, and He sees where you're going. I'm glad God doesn't see like I see, because I've seen where I've been. And I see where I am. And I can't figure out how I got here by where I've been. Is that anybody else's life? I was laughing at Nick. You were talking the other day when you got on the plane flying here and you said, what are we doing? 2 years ago, the only Cajun they had was crawfish. Now they're a Cajun army going all over the country. What are we doing? See, God knew where you are. And sometimes when we realize where we are, we can't figure out how we got where we are. How in the world did I get so blessed? Because I know me. And God says, you're not blessed because of you. You're blessed because of me. That's what grace is. God blessing you when you don't deserve it. I love that even Hebrews 4 tells us that His throne, where He sits, it's called the throne of grace.
Glory.
And in front of the throne is called a mercy. So what's He really saying? Hey, everybody that's messed up, everybody that's got problems, everybody, because let's just face it and let's be honest, there ain't nobody in here got it all right. And if you say you do, you got a line problem. There's nobody in this city, state, or even on this earth that's got it all right. And God sits on a throne of grace saying, I know you don't have it right. That's why I created grace, to give you what you don't deserve. And to bless you. Let me tell you what justified. That's a big Christian word, justified. What does that mean? Justified basically means this. God treats you just if I'd never sinned. He says, I know what you've done. I know where you messed up. I know where you've been. But if you come to me and repent, I'll treat you like you didn't do any of that. What a deal, folks. God sees the real you. He sees where you've been and he sees where you are, but thank God he knows where we're going. And he says, I know where you're going, so I'm working now to get you where you need to be. The Christian walk, is this helping anybody today? The Christian walk is not a sprint. It's not 50-yard dashes from Sunday to Sunday. If I can just get to church Sunday, I'll be all right. No, that's not the way you should live. Because if you live that way, here's the revelation. If you live that way, then the trial that you're going through, you will believe that it can destroy your future. Did you hear what I just said? If you live a sprint just trying to get here, then you'll begin to believe that what you're going through right now is going to ruin your future. But I've learned that all things work together for the good of them who are called and love God and who are called according to His purpose. In other words, I'm getting where I need to go. Jesus said, Hebrews chapter 11, that it was because of the joy set before Him, He endured a cross. Jesus lived a marathon. If He decided to live a sprint, then He would think that the cross would be the end of the story, that He was defeated. Hell thought it was a sprint. Satan thought it was a sprint. Satan was dancing. We won. And then, whoop, the third day showed up. And because Jesus decided this was a marathon, I'll endure this trial because I know this isn't the end of the story. Oh, who am I talking to today? There's somebody here today. I'm telling you, you're going through a fight. You're going through a problem. You're going through a situation. But I got to tell you, the situation that you're facing is not the end of the story. Jesus is the end of the story. I don't want to scare you. You better buckle up because here we go. God sees where you've been. God sees where you are and God sees where you're going. I think it's amazing in John when Nathanael met Jesus. Philip met Jesus. He immediately ran and told Nathanael, his brother. And he said, come with me. We found the Messiah. When Nathanael was taking a siesta, he was sitting under a tree taking a nap. And so Philip ran and woke him up and said, hey, we found the Messiah. You need to come. We found the Messiah. And Nathanael came and he said something to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, well, I already know you. And Nathanael goes, how do you know me? And Jesus said, well, before Philip went and got you, I saw you sitting under that fig tree. And Nathanael said, Lord God. And Jesus said, well, if you think it's neat that I knew where you were, you ain't seen nothing yet. See, I want you to know, whatever fig tree you're sitting under, whatever tree of depression, tree of sickness, tree of trial, God sees right where you are. Can you say amen? And then not only does God see the battle you're going through, not only does God see the real you, but here's the good one. When God sees you, He'll show up. I said He'll show up. I love this verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It says, for the Lord's eyes run back and forth throughout the whole earth. Okay, He's on the throne of grace. You know what He's doing? And the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the earth. Why? To find people that are messing up? Nope. That's not who he's looking for. It says, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. He's looking right now to say, hey, who still believes in me? Who still believes I'm a healer? Who still believes I can turn something around? Who still? And you know he's going, and he got to the hill house and it went, whoop, whoop, whoop. God said, let me show off for them, glory to God. What's God see when he sees your house? What's God see when he sees your life? I'm here to tell you, he's looking for people whose heart is still believing in him. Say, I believe in him. Second of all, God not only sees you, but number two, God remembers you. I said he remembers you. Tell the neighbor beside you, God remembers you. Don't forget our text today. Let's look at our text again in Isaiah 49. The Lord has forgotten me, forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. And he says, I will not forget you, for I've inscribed you on the palm of my hands. And your walls are your life, are your situations, are continually before me. Now let me start wrapping this up with this. We know that God doesn't remember things in the sense like he's forgotten it. It's not like God is in heaven today and going, oh yeah, Ryan, I remember him. That's not what that means. The actual Hebrew word in this verse is the word zakar. And the word zakar in the Hebrew means this. It means to remember to the point that you begin to act on someone's behalf. I want to say that again. It means to remember to the point you begin to act on someone's behalf. See, when God remembers, he begins to focus his attention on you and your need. When God remembers, he begins to accumulate all the prayers that you've prayed and begins to answer those prayers. When God remembers, he comes to the point of action that everybody around you sees that God is your God. Let me give you an example of that. Y'all remember the story of Joseph? Joseph had a promise. Am I right there? He had a promise. He believed in the promise so much. And you got to be careful who you share your promise with, because there are some promise killers. And usually they're your family. Promise killers. Because Joseph went to his brothers and said, hey, guess what God showed me? And they said, we're killing you. He went to his daddy and said, hey, guess what God, be careful who you share God's secrets with. So God, the Bible says that Joseph, because he had a call on his life, and if you have any type of call on your life and you're a believer in any way, you're going to go through some stuff. Amen. You will. But what makes it different, as I said earlier, we go through it, but we come out looking good. Yes, we go into it, but we come out better than we were when we went into it. So Joseph ended up going to Potiphar's house. He started out in a pit. And then he went to Potiphar's house, and then he ended up in prison. The three P's of being used by God. Pit, Potiphar, prison. But one day, God remembered Joseph. Now, does it mean like he went, oh yeah, Joseph is down there in prison. Man, I forgot all about that guy. That's not what it means. It means that in that one day, God decided it's time to turn it around in Joseph's life. And in one day, I don't know why God keeps putting this in my heart, but I've been hearing this for 6 weeks in this church. God can turn around in one day. I said he can turn around in one day. I said he can turn it around in one day. If the devil can destroy it in one day, I'm telling you, God that's bigger than the devil can turn it around in one day. And Joseph went in one day from the prison to the Secretary of State of Egypt. What happened? God remembered him. In other words, God said, it's time to do everything in Joseph's life that I've purposed in his life. And that's called Zakar. Remember, Jehovah remembers me. Jehovah remembers you. Can you say amen to that? Four times in Scripture we see God remembers. First it was Noah. It said, and God remembered Noah, and then he sent a wind. In other words, Noah was doing what God called him to do, and it seemed like it was going on forever. There's people in this house this morning, you've been doing what God's telling you to do, and you feel like nothing's working, but don't grow weary in doing good. Because you will reap if you faint not, the Bible says. And there came a day that God remembered Noah and sent a wind and caused the ground to drop. God remembered Abraham, the Bible says. Because God remembers what he promised you. Number three, God remembered Rachel. She was barren. She couldn't have children. There's people in here today. You've been praying and praying and praying that something would birth in you. I'm here to tell you, God can turn it around in one day. And then it said, and God remembered the children of Israel. After 400 years of slavery, he remembered the promise he gave to Abraham. And he delivered him in one day. Oh, I got good news for you today. God remembers every promise he ever made to you. God remembers every prophetic word spoken over you. God remembers the promises over you that were given before you were even born. If you had a praying mama, God remembers all those prayers. My mom, when she had my oldest brother, who is 20 years older than I am. I mean, he's old. Hope you're not watching, Johnny. He's old. He's going one way, I'm going the other. But when she had Johnny, the doctor told her, you can't have any more children. Your woman's organs are damaged. It's impossible for you to have children again. Well, 8 years later, guess what? Whoop, there's Dale. And there were some complications in a little bit of, in that. I've been told. I wasn't around. But there were some complications in that. And the doctor told my mom the second time, there is no way you can even get pregnant. It's not going to work. And by some miracle, you do. You or the baby or both will die. 12 years later, they got it right. That's why I'm the last one. 12 years later, my mom finds out she's pregnant. And she is scared to tell my dad because of what the doctors had said. Now, if you want to keep a secret, a little insight, don't go to a Pentecostal prayer meeting. If you want to keep a secret, don't go. Because that night, my mom and dad went to this prayer meeting. And they're sitting about right here. And this praying grandma. Let me just tell you, if you're running from God and you got a praying mama or a praying grandma, give up. Because life will be hell on earth until you get right with God. Anybody contest to that today? This praying grandma, Wayne, got out, walked over singing, la, 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 with her PhD, her Pentecostal hairdo. Walked up to my mama. Nobody knew but my mom and the doctor. Laid hands on my mom's belly and said, the baby in your womb will be used mightily by God and be a minister of the gospel in the last day revival. Now, that's how my daddy found out Randy's coming. I was there, but I don't remember it. The point I'm making is, when I'm running hard from God, I mean hard. You think I live for God hard? I ran hard from God. Because every preacher I knew was fat, bald, and boring. I'm working on the fat, the hair's coming back, but I refuse to be boring. And I told God, I will not be a preacher because I will not be born. I'm going to enjoy my life. Every preacher I know walks around, just as I am. Don't you want to be happy like I am? I said, I'm not doing that. And I ran hard from God, but I want you to hear what I'm about to say. The harder I ran from God, God wasn't looking at what I was doing. He remembered the promise that was given before I was even born. Because here's the point. You'll never be a mature Christian until you understand God doesn't remember, God, that God remembers His promises, but He forgets your sins. When you get to the point that you believe God remembers His promises, but He forgot my sins because I've repented for them. You got to repent. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. But God remembered the promise that was made, Linda, before I was even born. There's some of you in here this morning, there's promises that you're trying to run from. Don't run from them. God remembers them, and He does not forget. And lastly, God remembers what His Word says about you. This is His promise book. He remembers His Word.